After tumultuous negotiations with the Social Development Ministry under the leadership of Batabile Dlamini, the four major banks say they are now working hand in hand with its new leadership to see how the industry can get involved in the distribution of social grants. Already, the banks are now servicing over 2.5 million social grant recipients, but there's still more work to be done to secure more of the 10.5 million recipients. Well, to expand further on what's happening with this story, I'm joined on the line by Cass Kouvadier. He is the MD at the Banking Association of South Africa. Thanks very much for joining us, Cass. How has the communication changed between yourselves and the Social Development Ministry since the change of leadership?
Hi, thanks for having me. Since the change of leadership, we have had a sea change in the relationship between the ministry, SASA, and ourselves. We had been under the previous minister requesting data, which just wasn't forthcoming. The day after the cabinet shuffle, we got the data, started processing the data. We have ongoing interaction between ourselves and SASA to address issues as and when they come up and to continue discussions on how best to actually get social grants to people. Banks have... The information we requested was to determine from the about 8 odd million grant recipients who use ATMs to see which ATMs they use, which banks the ATMs belong to, so that banks can then start offering those people accounts and the social grants can be transferred into those accounts. We got that information that is being processed. And as a result of that, on the 1st of April, banks started processing about 2.8 million clients through whose accounts the social grants went, and that will continue to increase as we process the data. So I think that we had always said that we can use existing bank infrastructure to deliver social grants in a cost-effective way. We don't want to make money from this. We want to do this in a cost recovery way. And we started to do that as soon as the blockages caused by the previous ministry were removed.
Now, as BASA, you're asking the state to do a wholesale subsidization of the opening and running of low-cost accounts, and that's not happening yet. Is that correct?
Yeah, look, SASA has to go through certain processes. The original idea that SASA had put on the table was that banks should open a dedicated account for each client with specific characteristics. We raised issues related to competition on that. We raised issues related to the cost and time it would take to establish and structure such accounts. And so we said that let's rather do it through existing bank infrastructure, which we started doing. SASA's plan was that the subsidy would then be linked to that account. What we have asked SASA to do is link the subsidy to the grant recipient. Whatever account, whatever product the grant recipient uses, link the subsidy to that. SASA is going through some processes to look at that, and we understand that. We understand they have to go through certain processes. That doesn't mean we're not going to service clients. That doesn't mean that 2.8 million is not going to go up. We will continue to open accounts. We will continue to service clients. And as and when SASA goes through the process and a subsidy can be put into place, that's great. It would actually help, but we will. We're not waiting for the subsidy to be put into place before we actually start doing.
Now, in terms of the type of accounts beneficiaries will ideally have, or the ones that who already have accounts, what type of accounts are these? What are their basic function? And do they include things like internet banking, or that becomes a bit more of an expensive offering?
You know, we as an industry body, we couldn't get involved in discussion around the particular types of products that different banks would offer. That would be colluding, and so we didn't get into those discussions. What we facilitated is discussions between SASA and individual banks, and in those discussions, the individual banks talked about the range of products they can offer. SASA satisfied themselves that those products would be appropriate. And so different banks are offering different products. There are also different products for different types of recipients. So, you know, a young person receiving a child support grant might not want the same sort of product that an old age pensioner might want. Yeah, so the banks are looking at products that are appropriate to the grant recipient. We've committed to do this on a cost recovery basis. We've committed to ensure that we solve for the problem of abuse and so on, and that there is no abuse through these accounts, and SASA can keep track of that. So you know, and this is the advantage of using the current bank infrastructure. Banks can do this using a range of products appropriate for different products, appropriate for different people. And what it also means is that a whole lot of people are beginning to interact with the banking sector through these products. And as their conditions improve, as the economy improves, and they want access to different functionalities and so on, they can do it through these products.
So
we see this as an opportunity for financial inclusion.
Indeed. But then on the other hand, of course, we need to be careful that people are not abusing the system. So will the accounts only be able to take deposits from SASA, or will they, you know, take deposits from anywhere? And if so, will you have a mechanism that will be able to red flag accounts that seemingly receive, on the one hand, state benefits, while at the same time receiving a regular income from Pick and Pay, for example?
No, this will, these accounts, the grants will be deposited into these accounts by SASA.
Right, okay. And only SASA?
Yeah, only SASA, yeah.
Somewhere in the picture is the post office, which has recently also been granted a banking license. Where does it fit in this whole story?
Well, in the interaction, and we've had numerous interactions that you said in your introduction under the previous minister, in all those interactions, the Post Bank and Post Office were part of those interactions. They had indicated at that time that they are ready to deliver the social services. We've always, and you know, the discussions have been between them and SASA since then. We've always indicated as the industry body and as banks, the Post Office needs to be part of the solution to this. They have a significant geographic outreach. And as far as banks are concerned, we are more than willing to work with the Post Office and see what role the Post Office can play as part of the sort of integrated system. But if SASA has been talking to the Post Office, we haven't had interaction.
Okay, understood.
That's a broad discussion. Yeah.
Lastly, and still very important, concerns have been raised that naturally banks do hold a lot of personal information, and that could land up with people who want to sell products like insurance or whatever it may be, to essentially vulnerable members of society. So what measures will be taken to ensure that that doesn't happen?
We've been in touch with, now the name escapes me, it's Pensi Kakula, who's the Commissioner for Information Protection or whatever it is. We've been in touch with her office. We've spoken to her. She has actually indicated that the way we're doing this, she is quite happy that information will be protected. Even the data we got from SASA, we didn't put it directly into banks. We asked SASA to provide that data to BankServe. BankServe processed that data and ensured that it's safe and will remain safe. So these are issues that with the relevant authorities, in discussion with those authorities, we can ensure that those authorities are satisfied that sufficient safeguards have been put into place, and we can track this on an ongoing basis. And if we pick up any abuse, we can deal with it.
All right, Cass. Wishing you all the very best with the facilitation. That was Cass Cuvadier. He's the MD at the Banking Association of South Africa.